Okay, this week's parasha begins by Daba Shemel Moshe Achre Mois Shnei Bnei Aaron. So this week's parasha takes place after the death of the sons of Aaron. And Rashi tells us, why is it mentioning the death of the sons of Aaron? It's teaching us a moshel over here. It's giving us a dogma, an example. And Rashi says a moshel. L'chayla shenichnas etzel reifa. Somebody is sick, he came to a doctor, and he tells the person, don't eat certain foods. If you eat these foods, they're dangerous for you. There's another person who comes to the doctor, and he tells him, don't eat these foods like Pliny. A certain person who ate those foods, he had the same sickness as you, and he died from it. Which one will leave a lasting impression? If you see somebody who had the same sickness, they died from it, obviously that's going to create more inspiration not to eat those things. So that's why the Pasuk mentions over here, it's teaching halachas, and it's teaching us how careful one has to be. Look, Aaron's sons died. It teaches us when you give over things, it's important to give it with as much clarity and to give mashalim as much as you can. And it's very meduic in the Pasuk. People don't notice this, how meduic in the Pasuk it is. The Pasuk should say, after the death of the sons of Aaron, Hashem spoke to Moshe. That's not what the Pasuk says. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe. Hashem spoke to Moshe. What did he speak to him? Achre Moshe Nei Bnei Aaron. That was part of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. Bekarav Asom Bnei Hashem Yemusu. And the next Pasuk says again, Vayoyim Hashem. That was one Dibur already. It wasn't just this took place after they died. This was part of the Dibur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's trying to be Mezaris, Klal Yisrael, to be careful teaching these halachas and giving that moshel first. We have this week the Avoid of Yom Kippur. And at the end of the Avoid of Yom Kippur, the Pasuk says, Ovo Aaron El Elmoid. Aaron comes to the Elmoid. Of Foshat as big day habod, he takes off his linen clothing, Ashelovash, Bavoy ala Kodesh, Vehenichem Shom. He places them there. What does it mean he places them there? Rashi says, Melamedis teaches us, Shetu'un in Gneza. They need to be put away. Loishtamish bo Eisnarbo begodim, Loyoim hakipurim acher. He cannot use these four begodim for another Yom Kippur. Why is that? Normally we see the Torah chas al mamoinim shel Yisrael. The Rebbe wants to save us money. He's not looking that money should get wasted. Why is it that these clothes of the Kohen Gadol get put away to be used, they cannot be used another time? So it's symbolizing to us perhaps that the Kohen Gadol should feel when he's finished the Avodah Yom Kippur, what was the purpose of his Avodah? It was to cleanse Klal Yisrael. The Gans Klal Yisrael now became Tohar. And there's such a towering Klal Yisrael. The Klal Yisrael have done such a tshuva shleima. Next year, we're not going to have to do this Avodah. What's the point? Who can ever do a chet now? We're holding this madrig of Tarana. He puts away that clothing thinking, we're never going to need it again. It comes next year, he needs it again. Okay, I'll get new clothing. But at that time, that's what the feelings have to be. There are people who every year, they take their kinnis and they put it in Seamus. Why? Who's going to need this again? Next year, not going to need this kinnis. Mashiach's going to be here. They have an emunah shleima that Mashiach's going to be here. The gula's going to come. And they put away their kinnis. I guess they don't buy the expensive art scrolls one. They buy a cheaper one. In this week's parish, we have all the arroyas. And one of the arroyas is different to all the other arroyas. Most arroyas, after the connection to the person is gone, the person dies, it's still usher to marry that relative. For instance, a brother's wife, except if it's Yibum, a person can't marry his brother's wife, even if the brother died. Isha or Bitta, mother and daughter. You can't marry your mother nor even if your wife died. Again, I don't know who they wrote this for, but there's no difference. Things don't change, the Isurim don't change just because the Erva died. However, concerning the Issa of marrying two sisters, that disappears after one of the sisters dies. And the vision of Sir Rebbe Himonsi did that. He was married to the old Square Rebbe's daughter. When his wife died, he married the next daughter. So, the Isha El Achoysa Loisik Litzroy Legalois Ervosa Rebbe Chayeho. This Issa Erva only applies in the lifetime. divorced, it still applies. After a divorce, but not after death. Why is that? The Ramban says a fascinating pshat over here, which I'm sure is an important lesson for many of you. Ubekan yafarish hakos of tamei issa, says the Ramban. Here, the Torah is revealing to us the time why it's also. It's not like a regular erevah. There's a special reason that applies here, and that reason disintegrates when the one sister dies. It's telling you, Shein roi shetikach isha lachaisa. You cannot marry a woman, a sister. Litra isan zulazu. The posuk says, you cannot take them literally. What does litra mean? To be co-wives. Because it's known co-wives hate each other. It's natural that. They're jealous of each other. So you cannot take them. The problem is they're becoming co-wives is the problem. Kehin ru'uyis shetiyeno oyavazuazu. Because siblings should love each other. And by you marrying both of them, you're going to cause separation between them. So because you're dividing over here two sisters and causing them to have a sinner for each other, that is the issa. If one of them dies, it's no problem anymore. But even if they get divorced, you cannot marry the other one. Because again, they're still going to create some rivalry. It's going to create that problem still. Only after death it's mutter. But you see over here what the Ramban is telling us. That there's better, supposed to be a special relationship between siblings. So Rabbis, when you go home this weekend, try and remember that. Siblings you're supposed to really love and have a good relationship with. So now, the Gemara in Pesachim says, the Osid Lavoi, there's going to be a Suda, and at the end of the Suda, they're going to ask people to bench. They'll ask Avraham to bench, and he'll say, I can't bench, because I had a son, Yishmael. They'll ask Yitzchak to bench, he'll say, I cannot bench, because I had a son, Esav. They'll ask Yaakov to bench, and Yaakov answers very interestingly. He says, I cannot bench because I married two sisters, which the Torah is going to usher on me. What does that mean, the Torah is going to usher on me? Should have said, the Torah is going to make usher. Why does it say the Torah is going to make usher on me, specifying himself? So I once saw a beautiful pshat. The posuk over here is written very strange. The posuk is written, v'isha, and a woman, el ha'choisa, to a sister, loy sikach, don't take. The posuk should write, v'el isha, to a woman, ha'choisa loy sikach, don't take the sister when you have the wife already. The Torah writes it the opposite. It's like, v'isha, a woman, el ha'choisa. Don't take, once you have the sister, don't marry the wife. You don't marry the sister first. First you marry the wife, then it should say, don't marry the sister. Not, don't marry, once you have the sister, don't marry the wife. It's back to front the posuk. So pshat is like this. There was one case in history like that. Yaakov looked, who did he want to marry? Rachel. He looked at that as his ikar wife. What, and who did he marry first? Leah. So first he married the sister, and then he married his wife. The isha, a woman, el achoisa, don't take the wife after you've already got the sister. So says Yaakov, I cannot bench, because the Torah is going to usher on me specifically. The Torah is meramas dafke Yaakov in that pasuk. Of course it applies to anybody. But it's meramas to Yaakov in the pasuk itself. At the end of Achri Mois, you have the parasha of the Moilach. Okay, that's in Kedoshim. We'll get there afterwards. End of Kedoshim. Kedoshim begins where the first three psukim all end off Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Why do they all end off Ani Hashem Elokeichem? So I saw a chassid shepshat once that the Radomska Rebbe, not that you've ever heard of him, he once came to give a drasha and he saw that he wrote a sefer to Tver Shleima. He saw that some lowlifes came to the drasha. They want to make litzonos of it. So he began the drasha and he said, When you give a drasha has to be given to a tzibur. What is a tzibur? A tzibur is comprised of tzibur, tzadik, tzadikim, beis, beinanim, resh, reshoim. A tzibur has all types in it. And just like you give a drasha to all types, also the Torah is written for everybody. Like we saw in the Haggadah. Keneged arba bonim divrei Torah. The Torah speaks to everybody. So in the beginning of this week's parasha, it was parashas Kedoshim, he said, the Torah is speaking to every type of yid. The tzadikim, the beinanim, and the rishonim. So first the Torah turns to the tzadikim. And the first pasuk says, Kedoshim teyu, he tells the tzadikim, ki kodosh ni Hashem elekeichem. So there's the first line, ni Hashem elekeichem. That was a drosha to the tzadikim to be Kedoshim. Now we turn to regular people. They're not Madrega being Kedoshim, so we have to speak to them. What's Negev to them to work on at the moment? So you say you can't be a Kaddish, but at least Ish Imoy Va'ovitiro, Kibudov, you can understand. Es Shepsoisai Tishmoiru, it could be Shomer Shabbos, and the Yashem Rekechem. Then it turns to the Rishonim, the first and third set. And you say, you're not going to keep Shabbos even. But one thing, at least, Al Tifnu Alelilim, don't David Zara. Velehi Masecho Leisas Lechem. Ani Hashem Lekeichem. A drasha is for everybody, and a drasha is also, everybody takes different things out of the drasha. Some people just take out the jokes, some people take out the stories, but a drasha is there for everybody to take out something from it. Chazal tells us that Rabbi Lezer, he once got up to say drasha, that lo shamu oizn mo'olam, that nobody ever heard a drasha like this. No ear had ever heard it. And this Gemara sounds very nice, such a thing. It's Mamsha Pepper. Because the Gemara in Sukkah says about Rebbe Lezer, Loi Omo Dova Shloi Shomab Hi Rabbi. He never said anything that he didn't hear from his Rebbe. So how could he go and say a drasha now, something that nobody had ever heard? Everything he said he was repeating from his Rebbe. So Pshat is, he heard things from his Rebbe that no one else heard. He heard it differently. When you hear a drasha, you've got to be able to take out the right message. And he was able to take out different messages than other people. I once saw a fascinating pshat. I love this pshat from Rav Henoch Leibowitz. But the pasuk tells us, Leisikim Leisitar. One second. A person shouldn't take revenge. If you look at the person who's taking revenge, let's look at a standard case. A person taking revenge is you ask somebody if he can lend you his pen, and there's no reason why he shouldn't lend you his pen, and he refuses to lend you. A few days later, he comes and says, that same person, can I borrow your pen? And you look at him, ah, chutzpah. You know, you didn't want to lend me. That's a standard poshta case. Well, Leisikim, don't take revenge. Let's look. Well, you're asking, it makes sense? 100% it makes sense. And you're the second one to ask me this question today. It makes sense. It makes very good sense. Ah, chutzpah, why should I lend you? You didn't lend me. Nobody is saying that it doesn't make sense. And the Sozi Sharim says it makes very good sense. He agrees with you. You know what he says? And you think about it, it's so true. He says, Nekoma mesukim hi bedvash. There's nothing more geschmack than getting the guy back. I mean, I'm sure you can all think of circumstances where some guy did something to you and you're able and you've got that opportunity. And that's why it's a difficult mitzvah to keep. But the Torah expects us to do better than that. The Chofetz Chaim didn't feel like you feel or I feel. But again, that's how we have to work on ourselves. Nobody's saying it's easy. Mr. Zisharm is describing it. It's like a schmacky thing. But we have to hold ourselves back. But Rav Henoch asked a Krishmaki Kasha. I love this Kasha that he asked. I never thought of it. It bothered me. I never thought of this Kasha. That when we look at the two guys over here, who's the worst guy? The first guy or the second guy? First guy. Even the beginning. At any point, the first guy, even after the end, the first guy, he had no reason not to lend. Like our friend over here said. That the second guy, you can understand him refusing. But the first guy, why is he refusing? The first guy's a bigger rush. The Torah doesn't talk about him. Why doesn't it say the first guy should be a good guy first, and then afterwards don't take revenge back, even if he wasn't? But so no, don't you look at it like that? The first guy's the real rush over here. Rav Henoch says the opposite. It's not true. The second guy's the rush. The first guy's not. Why? The first guy, he's got to work on himself. Why didn't he give it in the first place? Because he likes his material things too much, his gashmis, it's attached to it. He can't let somebody else use it. It's mine. It bothers him somebody else is using it. It's a bad middah, such a thing. But such a thing is one level. The Torah doesn't write about that person. Of course he has to work himself. But the other person, why he would normally give it? He wants to give it. Why isn't he giving it? Only one reason. Because the other guy didn't lend it to him. He's an anti-Semite, that guy. That guy hates him. There's a hatred to the other guy. No, he didn't hate him. He just loved his things. He didn't want to give out his things. He wouldn't give it to him. You know how it is? It's mine. I don't want to give it to you. You know those type of people? You know? But the second guy wasn't like that. He always gives. He gives everybody. This guy he won't give. Can't stand that guy. That's the one who's the bad guy. It's causing it. But it's not a good person, I'm saying. We're not saying it's good. But it's a different type of issa what it's doing. The pasuk says, Lo yisisno isof chicho bilvavecho. Should not hate your brother. The Gemara in Brachot tells us, Rabbi Gamliel said, who can get up and be misaki in the bracha of Olam Hashinim? Make a bracha against the Rishoyim, the slanderers, these moistrim, these terrible people. And I'm sure if I ask Mr. Ackerman to get up and make a bracha against wicked people, I'm sure he could use some nice descriptive words to describe what the Ribbono Shel Olam should do with them. What's the difficulty to do it? Why do you need like a difficult thing? Who can do it? I see many people here that look like they'd be quite willing to. Unfortunately. So the Pasuk tells, the Gemara says, Shmuel HaKotan was able. He was a gone enough to do it. Only he was able to do it. What was it about him that he was the one chosen? So if you look in Ovis, it says there, that Shmuel HaKotan, what would he say? Bin foil ayivcha al tismach. Don't be happy at the fall of your enemy. And the Kasha is a famous and obvious question. And that is, what do you mean he said that? It's a Pasuk. The Pasuk says it. So what does it mean he said it? So all the Mefarshim explain. What it means is, when they say that Tznoim said certain things which are Mefarish, what it means is, they went around with that. That was their motto. Every single day they would say that. That was his lifelong motto. So therefore, somebody who lived his life, Bimfoil Oivcha Al Tismach, he was always looking to help the enemy. He didn't want to look rejoiced at their fall. Somebody like that, he is able to be misakim and amal shinim. Because when the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to be misakim, it cannot be because of personal vendettas. It has to be because you have to do it totally l'shem shemayim. Shmuel HaKotan, he was able to do that. The pasuk of the Haftal Re'echa Kamoicha is very interesting, that it is written right next to Kelayim. Why is it you have Leisikim Leisidros Na'amecho V'haftarech Kamoicha Ne'Hashem Eschukosa Tishmoru Behemtcho Leisir B'Kelayim Sodcho Leisidro Kelayim? Why is Kelayim right next to V'haftarech Kamoicha? And this is a very, very important lesson in life. And that is, yes, V'haftarech Kamoicha. You have to love every Yid, but you also have to be careful of Kelayim as well. Who you're mixing, how close you get to somebody when you mekayim after Rech Kamoicha, some people it's kelayim for you. It's very dangerous, it could be also that relationship. Which similarly we see, it says, Baruch Chodesh Adar, it says, Ba'adar mashmiyim al ha-shekel v'al kelayim, al shkolim al kelayim. They announced you have to give shkolim now, and they announced kelayim. So obviously that was the time of year for it. But why is it there was a just... They worked out coincidentally. There's no coincidences. At the same time, those two things are announced. So I think it was the Sabarov who explained. When they announced the shekel, what is the machtas of shekel and ramas to? The achtas of klai yisrael. Everybody is the half. You come with somebody else to make a whole. So since machtas of the shekel is ramas to the achtas of klai yisrael coming together, at the same time they announce the klai, be very careful. It can be dangerous as well. Sometimes a relationship can be klai. Shabbos.